This is my brutality! I eat, sleep, bleed, the demons in your dreams. I eat, sleep, bleed.
Kachi coming back from that intro, man. Welcome you back, jabronis of Jobber Nation, to a new season and a new episode of Jobber Club Podcast with Vogel and the face who runs the place, Tyler Face. How's it going, Face?
What's up, buddy? I really appreciate the intro because there's a lot to be talked about. So,
oh yes, there is. There's definitely a lot to be talked about, especially about Rhea Ripley as well. But we'll get back into that stuff a little later on in the episode. But Face, just want to congratulate you for second season as co-host now, man. Glad to have you back for another season.
I take this season off right.
Exactly. I mean, we took a brief little week off. You know, we had some personal things going on and a little hard to find a recording time last week. So,
yeah,
but we are back this week. And this past weekend and past week, there's been a lot of stuff going on, not just in WWE, AEW, but TNA also. We have AEW Dynasty that just happened, the WWE draft that's coming up. And also, what the hell did we see this past Wednesday night on Dynamite? But we will be getting all of that into this episode of Jobber Club Podcast, along with, like I said, a few releases that have happened, a few signings that's happened, and a few promotions. We'll also get into a little bit of WWE's pay-per-view event, Backlash France, that will be coming up at the start of May. But before we start, can I just say something? I'm actually just really happy right now because if you realize, like, the past few years, Backlash has been named WrestleMania Backlash, and now it's just Backlash again. I mean, am I the only one that picked up that subtle little change?
Since you just said it.
I mean, I like it better.
Yeah,
I like it better as Backlash because it feels like its own pay per view event again. I believe that Mania should just be one thing a year, and that's the grandest, like the Super Bowl of wrestling, right there, in my opinion. It shouldn't be branching off into another pay per view event where you're gouging people just because it has the WrestleMania name to it.
Yeah.
But yes, moving on into this episode, first on deck, we'll be probably talking about one of the longer things of this episode besides the draft and everything going down at WWE with that. We're talking about AEW's pay-per-view event this past Sunday, which was Dynasty. I found it kind of funny that Tony Khan decided to name a pay-per-view event and call it Dynasty because he doesn't know how to build a dynasty. I mean, he has the Jacksonville Jaguars. They've won no Super Bowls. He has Fulham FC over in the Premier League. They've won no Premier League championships. So what does he know about building a dynasty? That's just my opinion.
Clearly not enough. Yeah.
I mean, that's just, you know, that's probably a subject for another day on another podcast, you know, but we won't be going much into depth about these matches because we've already said it many, many times covering AEW that their events are really freaking long with over nine matches on their card, and that's including pre-show. So we're going to jump right into it. They had three matches on their 0 hour, which is their pre-show, where we saw Trent Beretta defeat Matt Sydal via submission. Two former WWE boys going at it right there. It wasn't that bad of a match, honestly, but I'd like to see Matt Sydal get a little bit of a push since he really hasn't done anything since he's gotten to AEW. But I know this is all part of Trent.
Matt Sydal was Zack Ryder, right?
No, he was Evan Bourne.
No, you're right. Okay.
He was the one that took the greatest RKO in history.
I actually listened to a show the other day, and Randy Orton said that he took the best. He was the best to take one.
I think that one, that going off on a little tangent right there, I think that honestly, it's either between that one or the Seth Rollins at WrestleMania 31 where he went to go do the curb stomp and he turned it into an RKO. Those are probably my two best RKOs in my opinion. And they always get played over and over again. I love seeing them. Moving on to the next 0 hour match, we've seen Shibata teaming up with Orange Cassidy. They defeated the team of Shane Taylor and Lee Moriarty via pinfall. And last but not least on that 0 hour, we've seen Bullet Club Gold defeat the Acclaimed and Billy Gunn in six-man tag team action for the unification of the Ring of Honor six-man tag team championships and AEW Trios championships. So it looks like Tony Khan has decided, hey, we've had enough belts. We're just going to unify the six-man tag from Ring of Honor and the Trios championships from AEW, make it one belt. I think that's probably the right call in my situation because you own two wrestling companies, and essentially one of them is going to be your second brand, and that's going to be Ring of Honor. And I think making that happen, making that little change, I think that definitely shows that they're trying to go in the right direction instead of having all these championships and not having, you know, anything worth a damn defending.
Yeah, you're not wrong at all.
So I mean, go ahead, man.
I would have done that a long time ago. You got,
oh yeah,
it's basically like Raw and SmackDown, but then again, they don't have the triple tag team.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like you said, it is like SmackDown and Raw right now. A lot of people are considering Ring of Honor being that secondary brand like SmackDown is to Raw. So, I mean, it would be nice to see it go in that general direction. I think we'll get into a little bit of that a little later on in the show, especially what we have planned later on with more AEW coverage and news. But, you know, I'm excited to see where that definitely goes. I'm kind of mad that the Acclaimed dropped it. I understand the reason for them dropping it. They do have Billy Gunn, who is in his late 50s, early 60s out there wrestling. So I think that them dropping it to the Bullet Club Gold was probably a good thing, considering that over the last few months and the last few pay-per-view events, it seems like Tony Khan has been taking a big shit on Jay White and not giving him the credit and the recognition that he deserves as a singles performer, with him losing to Billy Gunn. And this dude was just having a main event match against MJF towards the end of last year. And to have him lose to Billy Gunn, essentially jobbing it out, you know, that doesn't, it didn't sit right with me. So I wonder if them unifying the titles will help.
It might. I don't mean to yawn. I just woke up.
Oh, no, you're good. You're good. All right. So we are now going on to the main card of Dynasty. And that is where we've seen Okada defeat Pac to retain the AEW Continental Championship. No big surprise there, honestly. Okada was brought in to win a championship of some sorts, and this is a newer championship for AEW. I think that with Okada hanging on to it, it's the right call for business. Pac, he's a good wrestler. You know, I liked him when he was Neville and NXT, and then the cruiserweight for WWE.
I couldn't figure out a face with a name, and you just hit Neville. I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, he's good. I mean, I love his style of wrestling too, and I think that he should get more shots like that, because I think right now he's kind of confined into the Trios tag division, really, with Death Triangle when Penta and Ray are actually healthy, you know. So it's nice to see him actually get a one-on-one match for a championship that actually meant something. But like I said, it's best for business. Okada just coming in, you're spending millions upon millions of dollars on Okada. And for him not to have a belt almost kind of right away, it's kind of obvious that they put it on him for a reason. So,
right.
Next match, we've seen the House of
Absolutely Black. Not.
Defeat the team of TNT champion Adam Copeland, Eddie Kingston, and Ring of Honor world champion Mark Briscoe in a six-man tag team match. I don't necessarily agree with this.
I thought result. Adam Copeland had a belt.
Yeah, I said the TNT Championship. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yep.
Yeah, he has the TNT Championship, and then Mark Briscoe had the Ring of Honor World Championship.
That's right. That's right. Okay.
Yep, they're teamed up against the House of Black, which was Malakai Black, Brody King, and Buddy Matthews. And I get it. I mean, I get where they're going. I think they want to push the House of Black to get those trio championships one day, the unified ones that we were just talking about. Mm-hmm. But it just doesn't make any sense why you would have a mid-card champion and a world champion lose against the tag team, you know? It just seemed like bad booking for me, but then again, I get it. It's just, it's one of those double-edged swords. You want to see the House of Black get pushed because Malakai Black, I think his contract's almost up with AEW, and you want to see him back with the company. I think that's what you have to do. You got to push him. You got to push the faction that he's in.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that makes sense. But like you said, I don't like the, it left a bad taste in my mouth that the two champs I lost to the tag team.
Yeah.
What kind of sense is
it? Like, it makes it look weak, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You should have let them win, but somehow, well, let the other team win by a DQ.
Yes, yes, exactly. So and you don't see that happen very much on pay-per-views anymore. So, I mean, that would have been a nice change, honestly.
So they would have brought somebody out, hit somebody else, or something. They would have won by a DQ.
Exactly. And then it makes this next match that we're going to talk about even a little bit more of a what the hell happened, you know. Willow Nightingale defeated Julia Hart for the TBS Championship. Julia Hart, of course, being part of the House of Black, losing a championship. I mean, that was what was holding the House of Black really together, was her with a championship, because they didn't have any other championships. They weren't pushed and booked properly, in my opinion. So I think with the reason, not the reason, but I think going back to the House of Black winning, I think that's probably how they had to do something. They had to put them up against somebody, whether it be an established tag team or whatever. They just got to show that they belong in that trios division or in that tag division to win some type of championship.
I don't like how they did that. I don't know. I don't think it lined up right. But no. Every time we say that, something comes out of the woodworks. So
exactly. So who knows?
I'm going to stop doubting them.
Next match of the night, we've seen Roderick Strong defeat Kyle O'Reilly to retain the AEW International Championship.
International House of Pancakes?
Exactly. International House of Pancakes Championship. Not sponsored, but...
Hey, there's one down about 15 minutes south.
But yeah, I don't know how I feel about that, especially when Roderick Strong and everybody of that Undisputed Kingdom wanted Kyle O'Reilly to join them, and Kyle O'Reilly didn't want to. So it just makes me wonder where they send Kyle O'Reilly now, knowing that he came back from a year off of injury and that he had this decent win streak going, only to lose the International House of Pancakes Championship.
That nose crap is going to give you heartburn bad.
Oh, it's not. It's not. It doesn't. It's not like Prime.
Oh God, that Prime crap.
Oh, I can't, man,
stomach it.
Oh yeah, I mean, me neither. But yeah, like I said, it made no sense. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but I could see them having a storyline a little later on where Kyle O'Reilly does end up crawling back, tail in between his legs, wanting to be a part of the Undisputed Kingdom. So I think that's where that's headed.
Yeah, I could see that.
And Chris Jericho.
He needs to fucking retire. He's like,
what did you hear? Did you hear what they did at the end of this match right here? Chris Jericho defeated Hook to win the FTW Championship. Mind you, this championship is not recognized by any wrestling promotion in the world. It's a meaningless championship. It's just something that Taz created and Taz held on to ever since his ECW days. But when Jericho won it, they were chanting, fuck you, Jericho, and Jericho retire.
He does need to retire. I was listening to Fozzie this morning on the way home. I was like, man, he just needs to like pack it up. He's had what, a 30-year career.
About 40, yeah, I think.
But he needs to, yeah.
With all the independence and all the independent scenes that he's worked, Japan he's worked, went back to Japan. I mean, it's one of those things where he's been in the industry, I think, for a good 40 years almost. And one of the things I want to do is, I mean, I know it won't be up to date because he's had matches since then. I think it would have been perfect for him to release that book that he made with all the matches that he's ever had and memories of those matches when he retired. So then that way you had a collection of every single match and go back and read that. I can't find that book anywhere for like under $100 now because so many people are selling it for a high retail rate. It's crazy.
I'm going to have to look into it.
Yeah, it's definitely a book that I wanted to try to check out, but I know when it was like pre-selling at his website, I think it was like $45 or some shit like that because it didn't come in paperback. It was only hardcover only. So, but yeah, I think that was kind of stupid though, letting Jericho have that championship, even though it's not a championship.
But if that's the way, if that's the way he's gonna walk out and retire, fuck it, let him have it. Who cares? I mean, it doesn't mean anything.
It'd be like. That championship is like R-Truth's 58/24/7 championships, you know. It doesn't
mean Jeff anything. Hardy's purple belt back in the day.
I mean, well, at least that meant something. That was the TNA championship, though. That was like the John Cena spinner belt when he introduced it. You know, it was like his style of it, you know. It was like his variation of it. Same with Daniel Bryan when he released that hemp belt before WrestleMania 35.
Yeah.
You know, it was just like that. It was, you know, it's their own variation of it. I respect that. But for your dad, for Hook's dad, to make up a belt and be like, yeah, this is the FTW championship. This is going to be a belt that's going to be contested and stuff like that. And nobody wants to have it listed as, you know, an official belt. It's just stupid. I mean, but like you said, if he has
that's
kind of
like
go
the
out,
hardcore champ belt. That didn't really.
That's fighting words right there. That's fighting words. You
it
tell
didn't
Mick
really.
That.
I don't.
You
I tell don't Mick think Foley it meant that. Anything because.
And honestly, meant more than the 24/7. Honestly.
Yeah, it's basically the same level that the FTW, the 24/7, and then the hardcore. I mean, the hardcore was always cool to have because Jeff Hardy and Matt Hardy always somehow. It ended pinged up with back it. And forth
exactly
all the time.
Tommy Dreamer. Then you had like Jeff Jarrett, I think, once held it. Then Mankind, Mick Foley, Cactus Jack, Dude Love, whatever one that he was playing that week had it, you know. but yeah, going on with our coverage of Dynasty, Timeless Toni Storm defeated Thunder Rosa to retain the AEW Women's Championship. I don't like it. I'm getting kind of tired of Toni Storm's reign. I think the gimmick is good for her, but I think it's kind of getting old. I think she needs some TV time off, a little bit of a vacation, collect herself, come back repackaged, or something needs to happen because I'm just getting tired of it. It's ran its course, just to say that. It's not almost as bad as, you know, the Bloodline, but it's getting there. And right. I'm not saying that she's had the championship for that long. I'm just saying I think it's time to get a new champ in there. Like I said, maybe have her get some vacation time in or a little bit of R&R. Come back, refresh, different gimmick, whatever. Just make it happen. I think Thunder Rosa is probably the best bet right as of right now until Britt Baker comes back to defeat Toni Storm. Because if you look at it now, she's ran through just about everybody in the women's division already. So... It's bound to happen sooner or later, and I just hope it happens sooner because I think you're going to start losing fans of the women's division. The women's division already is dwindling down now that you have Ruby Soho announcing that she was pregnant, so she's going to be out for a while. And then it just leaves Britt Baker still hasn't come back from injury, so it's getting smaller and smaller, and we don't know when Mercedes Moné is going to debut, so...
Right.
It just leaves a lot of ifs and a lot of holes, you know. Thunder Rosa, she could have took over, like I said, Toni Storm, since everybody else is out, let her get some R&R, let Thunder Rosa hold it on a little bit longer since she had to relinquish it due to injury. Only makes sense.
Is this the transition to WWE? Because
Oh, it should have been. It should have been, but we still got a little bit more matches on this stuff right here.
Because that would have been great for the next segment in my head, but it's all good.
Like I said, this episode is going to be a little squirrel brain because
it's going to be all over the place. Yeah,
just back and forth. So, but no, the next match of the night, we see Will Ospreay defeat Daniel Bryan in a pretty damn good match. You know, I'm starting to become a little bit more of a Will Ospreay fan. He's good. He's one of the guys I'm glad that AEW signed and is actually utilizing him to the best that they can. I think that they're – oh, go ahead, man.
Oh, I was just going to say Liquid Death is not a sponsor, but they should be.
Oh, yeah, definitely should. I love their water. Their water is so good. I mean, a lot of people don't like it because of the aluminum taste from the can.
It's
so, I
there's
like
no
it.
Taste.
It's so, dude, it's so much colder. Dude. It gets so much colder, and it's – oh, dude, it's good.
It looks like a 40, too. Somebody at work was like, what the hell is that?
Yeah, dude, I was working on the line one time at one of my old cook jobs, and I brought one of the original cans, and they said, dude, are you drinking a Miller Lite on the job? I said, no, dude, it's Liquid Death. It's water. I was like, could you imagine though me rolling up to my job with the freaking 40 of a Miller Lite?
Okay, let's go.
Exactly. That's a good way to end Friday. But yeah, going back to that match, I just love how they're using Ospreay a little bit more. I think they're utilizing him a lot better than they are Okada, mostly because they pretty much booked Okada to win a championship way too soon, in my opinion. I know that it's going along with the storyline that they're trying to tell. But I think having Ospreay go through this alternative route makes me pull for Ospreay a little bit more. So maybe when he does have that match against Okada a little later on, maybe I'll be pulling for him a lot more, and hopefully that title will change then. So it just seems like also with that match, the only thing I didn't like about it was the ending where they had to – I don't know if it's storyline related or if it's contract related. I've heard a little bit of both. But Daniel Bryan suffered an injury in that match. It's apparently his neck again. And
Jesus, all right, he needs to retire. He's broken twice, right?
This would be the second time.
This would be the second, but still,
if the rumors are true, or what they said, it's possibly storyline worked. But the storyline work with this neck thing has gone on for way too long. WWE did it when he was actually medically cleared for years and not letting him wrestle as the, you know, instead of making him a general manager and making him a talk show host, pretty much, you know, it was stupid.
That was, so, they took a lot of years from him.
Oh, they did. They did.
Took too many years.
And I don't know, honestly, why he still stayed under contract with him. It was stupid.
I mean, it could have been a nice chunk of change, though.
It could have been. It could have been. But yeah, there's also rumors saying that he is towards the end of his full-time contract, meaning that in his contract, he had probably a seven years.
And him and the twin had kids, didn't they?
Yes, they have, I think, two. So I think that he's going to go down to part-time, less work, spend more time with them, a lot more time with them, probably. And I think he'll start to become more of the, you know, how when Blackpool Combat Club was started, they had William Regal as their manager.
Yeah.
I think he's going to take over the William Regal role and become the manager. They're going to have somebody else come in. I don't know who yet. It could be Ospreay. Ospreay could join. This could be the turning point because
I'm gonna be Taz with this.
get the Taz.
Like you said, ADD squirrel brain.
Exactly.
On the episode today.
Yeah, I just start seeing you go like this. You're like, man, I'm gonna go Taz with this. I'm like, dude, no. Are you just gonna start suplexing people out of nowhere?
I'm gonna just start spearing people left and right.
Oh man, but yeah, I think it could, like I said, I think it could be a possibility that, you know, this it might what turns Will Ospreay probably to Blackpool Combat Club, because he's been associated with Don Callis' family, so it could be their way of luring him over, who knows. And it could be also the grizzled vet passing the baton to the younger guy, you know, saying, hey, take my spot. I'm going to manage you guys. I'm going to be your guys' manager, all this stuff. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays on, especially if it is a real injury or if it's just an injury for kayfabe. Who knows? But they said if it was because of his neck, they would not have let him walk out under his own power. He would have been on a backboard. So
yeah. You're not wrong there.
So it could be something for kayfabe. It could be, like I said, the expiring of his full-time contract into his part-time contract. Who knows? He might be off of television for a while. The next match of the night, we had the Young Bucks defeat FTR in a ladder match for the AEW Tag Team Championships. A certain scapegoat returned to help the Young Bucks, and we'll get into that a little later on in the show, how that all went down, and we'll explain a lot later, and maybe even watch a little clip of what happened. But we've moved on to the main event of the night, and that was Swerve Strickland defeating Samoa Joe for the AEW Championship. Swerve, well-deserved.
So Samoa Joe is not champ no more, right?
Yep, Samoa Joe lost his championship to Swerve Strickland. I mean, like I said, I made it known mid last year that I was not a big Swerve Strickland fan. I was not a big fan of him when he was in NXT or WWE with Hit Row. I thought that the gimmicks were kind of stupid. But then he signed with AEW and he had those matches with Hangman Adam Page. And that really turned my opinion around about him. I'm gonna lie, you know, Swerve definitely. Like I said, I think I can't remember what episode it was. I think he's gonna be a main a AEW World Champion. I can't remember what episode it was, but I do remember saying that. And if I find it, I'll edit it in and post for the audio listeners on Spotify. I'll be a little treat for you guys. But yeah, I'm glad that he won it, and plus it gives Samoa Joe a little bit more time. He doesn't have to become that part-time champion. Like I said, he's going to be filming Twisted Metal Season 2 probably pretty soon. That's supposed to be coming out, I think, sometime this summer, so that's going to take up a few weeks to a month of his time of filming, so it's nice to see a new champion in there, and it's not your typical MJF or your Samoa Joe or Hangman Page. It's actually someone new, so it's nice to see that.
Right.
We have that is actually what finished off the crazy weekend of wrestling. But what kicked off this crazy weekend of wrestling was new signings, not only in WWE, but in TNA. This all started last Friday night on SmackDown. Like we said, Tama Tonga was going to be making his WWE debut. And we said it, you know, we said our sources, you know, said that there are some rumblings that he was in Detroit. So glad to see that that was a new signing for the WWE. I'm excited. He was a member of the Bullet Club over in New Japan. So when I followed a lot of New Japan, that's what I followed the most was the Bullet Club. I think a lot of us did in the United States. When we followed New Japan, that's who we followed. And he was definitely worth the signing. He is a little bit on the older side. Not going to get that many good more years out of him, but for what you sign him probably for, it's probably the best value that you probably got right there. He was, like we said, he was announced as the newest member of the Bloodline. He attacked Jimmy Uso. But it's going to be interesting now to see where the Bloodline goes from here, story-wise. You have Roman Reigns. He's on a shelf now for a little bit of time.
He's going to be out. I think he's been wanting to get the hell out anyway. So,
well, then you have The Rock. He won't be making any more television appearances due to filming a new movie. So he's going to be out for a few months.
Another one?
Yeah, it's not Fast and Furious this time either. It's something else. But yeah, he's going to be out. And then you have Jimmy and Jay. They're both out. So it only leaves Sola and Tama Tonga. And that's only two people right now. So unless something happens where, you know, Roman comes back sooner than we expect, but who knows?
Oh, God damn it.
But I know, I think it might have been the last episode we recorded. Yeah, it had to have been because I think we're talking about, like I said, the possible debut of Tama Tonga. You mentioned something about when Roman does return, you want to see him as a face, right?
I would like to see him as a baby face. That'd be
Yeah, that's
cool.
what I thought you said. Yeah, is that still how you see it playing out now since Tama Tonga has joined the Bloodline? Do you see
I
that?
don't know. Like, they keep
I
throwing
mean,
me for a loop.
especially with that draft coming up too. I mean, we got to take that into account with everything too. I mean, maybe we'll get a better deal after, you know, night one tomorrow, but it's gonna be something interesting to see how that plays out, especially like I said during that draft, because we could have Bloodline, you know, members of the Bloodline going on different brands. We've seen it before with New Day.
I do not like the new draft for the for it. It's so
Oh
dumb.
yeah,
It
yeah.
makes me so angry.
Exactly. We'll be getting into that in a little bit. We'll actually show you guys the new little set of rules that they have. I don't know if they're necessarily rules, but there's something. We'll definitely be showing those a little bit later on. But also going back to that, the signing of Tama Tonga, I think that it's also going to leave, like we said, it's going to set up like that something where Roman is the baby face, gets Jay and Jimmy back together, has that something that's maybe Survivor Series or even hopefully where everything goes to die, maybe Hell in a Cell. And hopefully that's maybe the earliest that'll end, but that would be a lot of storyline to be making up by then. I don't
It
think that
re
will.
really would be. You're not even
Yeah,
wrong.
it'd be a lot to wrap up. It would feel rushed. So I'm gunning for maybe Survivor Series. If not, the ultimate thing would probably be by next Mania, where you can
But
possibly see.
don't you think that'd be a little too long?
Not given the scheduling of how I see it ending, I think this next Mania, we're finally getting Rock versus Roman. And it's going to be.
That's we don't need that, though. That's
I know.
We don't
I know.
need it.
That's what I've been saying for years. It's
that
like,
was like Cena versus The Rock a few years back.
That was
Fruity
like.
Pebble era.
How about that was like Goldberg versus Undertaker at Saudi Arabia a few years ago?
We didn't need that either.
No, exactly. But we're going to get it. It's like. And it's also like the equivalent of how we got Manny Pacquiao versus Floyd Mayweather late in their careers. It didn't mean nothing.
That was dumb. We didn't need
Yeah.
that one either. That,
exactly.
Yeah, we didn't.
So I
a
think
hype
what
of
it's
century.
Like, I think it's going to set up like how it did last Mania. It's going to be Solo and Tama Tonga in a tag team match versus Jimmy and Jay for a stipulation in the main event the next night. It only makes sense, like, going forward, honestly. That's the only way I can see this making sense. Or if they do it at Survivor Series, that might be a little bit better. But right now, I see this entire thing wrapping up at next Mania.
You're not wrong. I mean, as much as I don't want to see it last that long.
It only makes sense storyline, especially you don't know what the projects that The Rock has going on either. His scheduling wise and how long they want to give Roman off to, how long he's asked for off. So I know he's got, I think, a movie in the mix too coming up. I don't know if it's live
he
action.
Does.
I don't know if it's live action or if it's animated, but I do know that he has a movie coming up.
I don't remember what it was called though.
But yeah, we are moving on from that WWE signings to some new signings in TNA that happened at this weekend's TNA Rebellion. The first being Sami Callihan has made his TNA return. We had months of speculation on where he was going to go. I remember we had shows mid last year when he decided not to re-sign with Impact that we didn't know where he was going to go. We didn't know if he was going to return to Impact later on. We didn't know if he was going to go to WWE, where he's had a stint before, or we didn't know if he was going to go into AEW and team up with Jon Moxley in the Blackpool Combat Club, since they were former tag team partners. And it just left a lot of wondering on where he was going to go. But we got that answer at Rebellion, where lights went out and he came in. Nice to see him back in the ring, though. I know he's been working a lot of the independent scenes, a lot of GCW shows. So it's not like he's been taking this time off and not doing anything. But I would love to see him pair up with Maxley one last time. I don't think that's out of the picture quite yet. I think that two things will happen before Maxley retires. He'll team up with Callihan one more time. And he will also return to WWE and reunite with The Shield.
Oh, now you don't do that to me, motherfucker.
Well, you know it's going to happen, especially
Yeah, it's
given.
gonna happen, but don't do that to me right now. Because you're gonna get my hopes all up, and then that's not gonna happen, and then I'm gonna get
Hey,
pissed.
Bloodline rules for the second year straight at Mania next year. The next thing you know, you hear the Shield's music, Seth Rollins and Jon Moxley come out.
I would lose my
Dude,
shit if that happened.
everybody thought Moxley was coming out this year.
That would have been fantastic, bro.
I thought it was Moxley too. Then I remember that Seth said, "I'll be your Shield," and that's when I was like, "Oh, it's Seth." But yes, also debuting at that TNA Rebellion was the return of Broken Matt Hardy.
You told me that. I was like, wait, what? So I went and rewatched a little bit of it, and I'm just like, bro, what the fuck?
He made his return and he attacked TNA champion Moose after Moose successfully retained his TNA World Championship against Nick Namath, formerly known as Dolph Ziggler in the WWE.
Why didn't he retire yet? I
Who,
never really
Dolph?
like I didn't really like him. I'm not even gonna lie.
He got released. He got released from the WWE, I think, earlier this year. And when he got released, he just wanted to take some time and wrestle the independent scene. I don't know why he hasn't retired yet. I think he still haselessly, I think he wanted to get away from the Dolph Ziggler character that he personified, and he wanted to do something new. And WWE didn't want him to do that, so he wanted to go to a place that he would have a little bit more control over his character and how he wants to be seen.
Right.
Because he kind of got pigeonholed as that heel. Even when he was a face, you still couldn't take him as, a baby face. You always thought he was going to be a heel. So it was nice to see him be able to personify something different.
Right.
Let's see. And oh, going back to
I just
Matt
took a few
Hart.
because I need it.
And I know you wanted to see them back in the WWE for one last
I
run,
needed them to be back in the WWE, but now I don't know if it's gonna happen.
but here's the thing: it's been rumored. Let's just put it that way. It actually hasn't been revealed, but it's been rumored that him signing with TNA is just only for like a handful of shows, and that he is technically still a free agent. So he hasn't
Really?
actually signed with the company. He signed with them for only like a handful of shows. That could be until Jeff finishes off his AEW contract. And then possibly they could make the leap from whatever Matt's doing into the WWE again. Because AEW doesn't have that no compete clause in their contracts.
You're not wrong. You are not wrong.
So I could see that making, because I don't think Matt being as old as he is, I think the more if he sat out not doing anything, even if it is for a month or two, the more ring rust he will actually have and the harder it will be for him to get back into it. So I think that's probably why he's doing a handful of TNA shows too. So he stays fresh. That way, when, like I said, Jeff's done and finished, that could possibly be the jump to WWE, because we've seen it before when they made their return at Mania that one year. They went through the Ring of Honor, they won those tag team championships. I think they went to AAA and won those tag team championships, then the TNA, then finally debuted at Mania as that surprise tag team and won the WWE tag team championships.
Right.
But who knows? They might end up signing long-term contracts with TNA, because like I told you when we were talking, when I said that he returned, that's where the broken Matt Hardy and Brother Nero gimmick started, was in TNA.
That's where that the Willow came
Exactly.
from.
And that's I guess also in his contract for the matches that he is set to wrestle, because I guess it's going to set up a feud for like the next pay-per-view event to have him going up against Moose. They're going to involve his family too. So his wife, his father-in-law, his sons, his daughter, they'll all be involved in the lead up to the matches, to match, I mean. Before we get into our next little bit of wrestling news with some latest releases from the WWE that's happened over the past week, we have some bills to pay. That is why we are letting you know that this episode is sponsored by Dubby. What is Dubby? Dubby is the zero crash, zero artificial flavor energy drink that you make at home. Whether you're a gamer, a podcast host, or just work a normal 9-to-5 job, Dubby has the energy powder for you to get you through your day. With great tasting flavors such as Calio Cream and Dragonade. Are you not sure what flavor to try? Try their starter sampler pack, which includes 3 single serve Dubby energy drink powders, along with 2 single serve Dubby hydro powders, along with a shaker cup. As a special thanks to our listeners, Dubby is giving Jobber Nation 10% off their entire order. All you have to do is put in code NATION2023 at checkout. That code again is NATION, all in caps, followed by 2023. Because at Dubby and here at Jobber Club Podcast, we strive to be better.
We should probably update that.
What, the
it's
code?
It's not 2023 anymore. It's 24.
Well, you know what? The code was our first code, so that's when we became, I guess you could say, partners or affiliate. You know, no, partners with them. That's when we became partners with them.
This is true.
We haven't gotten to affiliate yet, but we got partners.
We will eventually. Well, I mean, affiliate is lower than partner.
Well, that's what I meant. Yeah, that's what I meant. I always get them switched. But yeah. Use code NATION2023 at checkout. We'll probably be updating that soon. So if you are listening, if you're listening from a year from now and it's still 2023, congratulations, it works somehow, some way. But yes, we will be definitely updating that soon. Now getting on to some of the bad parts of wrestling, of course, with signings always come releases. And that all started last Friday when we learned that Jinder Mahal, Zion Quinn, and Xia Li were all released from their WWE contracts.
But are you really disappointed in all of them? Like for real, are you really disappointed or not? Because
honestly, the only
unfortunately, I am not.
I mean, the only one that honestly shocked me was the Xia Li. I thought she was going to be on the main roster pretty soon. I know she's had some debut. I think she debuted like her main like pay-per-view event for WWE that she debuted at was, I think, this past Royal Rumble, I want to say. And I thought that I was going to lead up to a main roster call-up, but unfortunately, I think it kind of left her down at NXT and they just developed more talent down there and she got kind of pushed to the back burner. So I think that's the only one that really surprised me out of all of those. But that did not stop the WWE releases because more came Saturday with Sangha, Veer Mahan were all both released from their contracts. No surprises there. Veer Mahan, that was not a surprise to me. If you would have told me that Veer Mahan signed an extension and they released Jinder Mahal, then I would
have. That would have been like a.
Yeah, you know, I'm like, what? Why? But since both of them got released, I mean, it was no surprise to me whatsoever. But wait, there's more. On Monday and Tuesday, WWE released Von Wagner and Cameron Grimes, both from their contracts. That's a lot of budget cuts. How much money did they pay Tama Tonga to come to the WWE if they release that many people within a span of a weekend?
I'm curious. That'd be something that I would want to know.
I mean, then again, I don't know the contract status. I mean, I can't imagine. I think your highest paid person on that list that I just named was probably Jinder Mahal. Then probably Cameron Grimes, but I'm just saying that's not even in the millions. That's in the higher upper 100,000s, you know. So who knows? It might have been a few million dollars that they paid him. But I don't see him being worth that much. I mean, unless you got him for like a really, really long-term deal, which I don't think that they would do being that old. but you never know. It's WWE. Now I know a lot of the talent that I also listed off did not have very long tenures there, except for Jinder Mahal, who was there since like 2013 or something.
He's been
like
there for about, from 2012, I think.
Yeah, I think, yeah, at least 2012. I think he got released one more time and then came back, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, what wrestler out of that list do you think has the best chance of making it somewhere else? You know, I mean, I'm not saying that they won't all end up somewhere else at one point in time, but where do you think, like, who has the better chance to better their career out of the situation? I mean, I think the only logical one that I have to mind, that comes to mind, is probably Cameron Grimes. The only reason being is because he is probably one of the younger ones out of them all. With the exception of Xia Li, I think she's going to make it someplace pretty decent. I think she'll probably land on her feet probably either in AEW or TNA before the time's over.
Yeah.
And I think like I said, it has to be Cameron Grimes because he had so much potential in NXT. And they you know, gave him, I think, even the NXT championship at one point in time. And he's trained by Matt and Jeff Hardy. He's from Cameron, North Carolina.
You showed me that. I actually did a little bit of diving on that, deep diving on that, and I really liked that.
Exactly. So I think, you know, I'm interested to see, because I want to see if they form some type of like Hardy type family and have him in there and make it like a trio.
That'd be pretty dope.
And they go to TNA. That'd be pretty awesome. I think that would be pretty cool. But it's interesting to think about. I think
that kind of, so if they come back as a, like the triple tag team, what if they went against the Shield? You got the high flyers, then you got the guys to stay on the ground. But I watched a video, and I think you sent me it. What was Matt Hardy saying? Jeff Hardy was a what?
I don't remember. No, you sent it to me. It was
a
crouton bomb.
Crouton bomb. Yes. Yeah. That shit had me rolling. I'm like, Matt Hardy is.
It's not a swanton. He doesn't know how to do swanton bombs anymore. He does crouton bombs. Yes, that's what it was. I had a brain fart there for a second. Yeah. But no, I'm going to be honest. Like I said, the Jinder Mahal one did not surprise me at all. I never really cared for him, even when he was early days WWE, when he was part of the three-man band.
I'm glad we're both on the same page, because I didn't really care for him at all.
I mean, he had that, even like I said, they had that gimmick with the three-man band. It was him, Drew McIntyre, and Heath Slater. And speaking of all of that, I think now would be the perfect time for the WWE to finish the real story that they have to finish here. They need to sign Heath Slater and have him defeat Cody Rhodes for the Universal Championship. The Undisputed Championship, I mean. And finish the story. That way he can be all part of all three members of the three-man band who have once held the WWE Championship.
That's funny.
That's a Hall of Fame. That's a Hall of Fame faction right there. Oh man. But yes, we did have one surprise return that I briefly talked about earlier in this episode, and that was AEW Dynasty, where we've seen the return of Jack Perry as he knocked FTR off the ladder, setting up the Young Bucks winning the tag team championships. That leads to us talking about what the hell we seen this past Wednesday night on Dynamite.
Let me pull that back up.
Yeah, go ahead and pull that up. We'll give this
a watch.
I've been
trying to do a couple things while I'm listening. That's how my brain works.
Oh, you're good, man.
Organized chaos.
We're going to give this a little watch here, because it was kind of interesting, to say the least. I mean, this is going to be, I think, your first time seeing this face.
I seen bits and pieces of it, but this is my first trip to that.
Yeah,
Can
so
you can
yeah,
hear it, right?
I can hear you, but I can't hear it.
Oh, you can't hear it. Well,
No, no,
shit.
no. But anyways, I mean, I can we can kind of talk about like what's going on if we can't get any audio up on it.
I don't know how I would get audio. Damn it. Well, here, let me just send it to you because apparently it's not gonna load.
Load for you.
Yeah.
All right, we'll see. It worked for me last time I got this, so yeah, we're just having a little
You.
technical. Gotta love trying to do screen shares on here sometimes.
How do I f Where is the sound at, damn it? It should be working. It should, I don't know.
Go ahead and try it again. All right, let's see. So we got Jungle Boy coming into the ring. Still no sound, but it's all right. Yeah, Jungle Boy, he came to the ring and they're all chanting right now, "Go cry me a river." That's what the fans are chanting.
I don't know why there. I have no sound. I can hear it, but you can't.
Okay, let me see if I can pull this up real quick, because yeah, it's definitely worth a watch real quick.
Yeah, let me just. Oh my God.
Yeah, but it was definitely one of those things where Jungle Boy definitely is getting heat now, and it's crazy to ever think that he would get some heat like that. Because going on to his when he first was becoming a heel, he was getting heat for all the wrong reasons. He was getting heat for the reasons that he couldn't be that great of a heel. He wasn't that great of a heel.
Right.
And he needed a lot of help. And I think that him taking that time off, going to New Japan and really developing over there and trying to become better at his promos, I think it's showing, and it's showing that he's improving a little step by step. Not step by step, but as the time's going on. Oops, sorry about that. We will go ahead and mute that until this ad is over, and then I'll go ahead and screen share it with everybody on
I don't
here.
know. For some reason, I have no idea why there's no
Oh,
sound.
you're good, man. Yeah, it's just, but this is definitely pretty awesome thing to do to see right here. Get
Oh, I just made that
that.
full screen. That's neat. I didn't know I could do that.
All right, let's see if we can get this going up right here.
See, how did you get sound and I didn't? Oh, wait.
I don't know.
Future with AEW
This is
is
bullshit.
uncertain, Taz. He tore up his contract. He seemed to join the roster of New Japan Pro Wrestling. I thought his AEW days were behind him. Yeah, I thought so too. And recently we saw the Young Bucks, Matthew and Nicholas Jackson, put out the footage of the confrontation way back.
How are you better computer tech than me? I just don't get it.
I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah, he's getting that heat, man. And it's like they're glad to see him back too, which is crazy.
First things first. I want to say that I've had some of the best nights of my entire life right here in Jacksonville. But tonight, we have business to handle. And I want to handle it right here, right now, face to face.
with face to face.
We heard from Matthew Jackson. It's crazy to me that this is.
I like how there's barely any
after all in London, Jack,
like sound from the crowd.
It's a smaller venue that they're playing in too. They're at the football stadium down in Jacksonville at a bar area. Like an outdoor party deck type thing.
Man, it's been a long road. Almost 5 years ago was the very first Double or Nothing. And since then, AEW has gone on to change the world.
But they haven't, though.
Well, they're going back to that old slogan that the Young Bucks said on their first press conference introducing AEW.
We haven't always seen eye to eye, but I want to tell you this right now. From the bottom of my heart, I swear to God, the only thing that I have ever wanted is what's best for AEW.
Come on, Swanton bomb his ass through the middle of the ring.
So I want to ask you to please shake my hand.
He'd put him in a snare trap. That's his version of the face lock.
And let's go on and continue to change the world together.
Well, sometimes you have to leave.
Come on, throw him. Come on, throw him over your shoulders. Do something.
This doesn't shock me. But
a smug ass grin.
Jack Perry back on the scene here in All Elite Wrestling. We can only assume that.
So he's done with the Jungle Boy theme then.
Absolutely. Tony smiles.
Yeah, he's been done with that for a while. What the?
He just punched him in the ribs. That's it?
What? I can't believe Jack just did that. What the frick is wrong with him?
You hear Taz. What the frick's wrong with him?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, cooler heads. Uh-oh. Hey, you see something about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
What? No. What the
fuck? Taz's so flabbergasted. He's like, wait, what?
Yeah. Yep.
Tony Khan's like, what the fuck? Tony Khan reminds me of Mr. Monk.
You're not wrong, though. You're not wrong.
The little kid voice, get out of here! Get out of here! I'm going to tell my mom! Don't die over there on me laughing now.
I can't help it, dude. That was actually pretty funny. That was pretty good.
I'm going to go tell my mom. You hurt him.
Yeah, you hurt him. We're gonna fast forward a little bit towards the ending of here, though, because
I want to know why. Oh, did they come back out?
No. The locker room comes out.
Why the locker room didn't come out before?
That's his dad. Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yep. That was his dad at the end of that. So I think we all had the same question that you had.
What the fuck?
What the hell? Yeah, what the hell happened? You know, what is going on?
It could be organized chaos. Remember, like, aces and eights?
I'm thinking something similar to that, because they did just recruit somebody that, you know, technically wasn't in the company anymore, but came back, you know? So who knows? It could be something like that. Then again, they kept saying, we're going to change the world. And that's what they said when AEW was first introduced. So I think it's going to be interesting to see where they go from there. Especially that we now have an appearance, a televised appearance from the co-owner of AEW, Shad Khan, Tony Khan's dad, who we saw at the end of that clip. So it's going to be interesting to see how he plays into this too. I'm thinking
that I want to see Tony Khan beat Jack Perry.
Oh man, no DQ, freaking steel cage match.
Yep.
Be like Vince McMahon versus Stone Cold.
Yep.
Oh man, but like you said, it could be something like the Aces and Eights type of thing, but I think at the end of the day, it's just going to be them introducing new creative staff, honestly, new booking. I think because Tony Khan was the head of all of that, booking and creative pretty much, everything went past him. And he was getting a lot of heat from a lot of the wrestlers backstage, you know, how they're underutilizing certain people and all that. So it could be him giving up the reins to one of those, to somebody else, and letting somebody else take the reins. That's what
that'd
I'm thinking.
That'd be good. That'd be really awesome.
Because honestly, that's what we need right now from AEW, somebody else to take control over creative, whether that be booking or whether it be actually writing, and something needs to happen. And I think it's going to be awesome if that is the case.
You're not wrong. They need some more help. They're a baby company, but they're going to be something to reconcile with, because WWE is on a whole nother level now,
mm-hmm,
without Vince.
Yeah.
So
maybe this is, because it's a perfect example, actually, what you said. This could be their version of Aces and Eights, because if you look at it, what was TNA struggling with? They were struggling with booking. They were struggling with having something that was going to bring in viewers weekly. That's what AEW
I only watched because of the Hardy Boys.
Well, I mean, they also brought in the Aces and Eights, too. That drew people in, too.
That was a pretty dope-ass storyline.
So that entire storyline for TNA, that's what saved TNA. That's why they are still on the air today. Because if they didn't have something like the Aces and Eights, they would have been canceled, like done with, folded up, everything within a short period of time. Because honestly, for the longest time, they were just relying on AJ Styles too. And that only got you so far.
For a very long time, they
did. Yeah, him and Samoa Joe too. They're relying
what
on
was her both name? Of them.
Dixie Carter.
Yes.
Yep. But yeah, I think like we said, we're in the same boat. What the hell? What the hell's going on? where's this going, you know? And I think honestly that would make sense if that's where it went, but then again, AEW has been known to not make sense 9 times out of 10. All right. Now we are getting into the topic that is going to be, you're going to be passionate about, Face, especially last night when we were discussing this subject. That's like, we're going to be talking about the WWE draft. First night of the draft is this Friday night on SmackDown. We're going to go over the...
I can at least pull those rules up.
Oh, I got you. I got you, man. I got tabs up. I got tabs up, my guy. I got tabs. You good?
I don't know why YouTube wasn't wanting to work, but you know what? Whatever.
These are the current rules of the draft. So this Friday night there will be four rounds of drafts, four rounds for the WWE draft this Friday on SmackDown. There will be 16 total picks that night. On the Monday night Raw, there will be six rounds with 24 total picks.
Okay, so how is that even fair? Shouldn't it be the same amount of picks?
Well, if they did the same amount of rounds for SmackDown, you're only left with like 20 minutes of wrestling. It's a 2-hour show, my guy.
Make it a 3-hour show.
They wouldn't do that just for that, man. Fox would not allow it because Fox, then you're cutting into local news.
Nobody cares about the local news.
I'm just saying, my guy. Another rule is that champions on each brand are now protected.
That's stupid. I hate that.
The women's tag team champions are eligible for this draft.
Okay, so what about the SmackDown men's and the Raw men's?
They're protected.
That's so dumb. So then why is the women's tag team champions eligible? They should be locked into place.
Because they don't have a specific brand. They're a free agent.
So then,
meaning that they can get drafted to a certain brand, but then that'd be stupid because then if you don't draft one and another brand drafts the other and they're a tag team champion, how the hell is that going to work? No.
Yeah.
It's going to be a one on two match to defend that. And then Raw will pick first on Monday. SmackDown will pick first on Friday. Rosters will lock in on Monday's night episode of Raw, May 6th. And we are also going to be taking a look at the current WWE champions that will be protected on each brand.
That's so annoying.
Just so you guys are aware who's all locked in at the moment. Locked in at this moment, we have the Raw has locked in World Heavyweight Champion Damian Priest, good Women's chance. World Champion Becky Lynch. How you feel about that?
But okay, so I feel like they did Rhea the way they did Becky Lynch when she announced she was pregnant.
I said the exact same thing.
Because
I feel like, yes, it was a real injury, or she is, you know,
I don't think she's injured though.
I don't know.
I don't think she is.
It could be time off for her wedding too.
Yeah.
Then again, I don't know.
That would have been dope as fuck going into it being the champ. So
maybe because, you know, like we said, WWE is going into that new era. What if they don't want that to happen? What if they want to have a champion at just about every pay-per-view, or at least be represented and being there week in and week out? Because you're not seeing these part-time champions anymore. You're starting to see more title defenses. You're starting to see these champions fight on a regular basis now. Raw Women's World Championship. That was like the first time, even though it was a tournament, that was like the first time that someone has actually won that women's championship on a television event in like forever. You don't see title changes on just a regular TV show.
No, you don't anymore. And that was always the best.
Yeah,
Every once in a great while you'd see it happen. But like when we were kids, it would only be pay-per-views and we'd have to wait till the next Monday to see what the hell happened.
Yep, exactly.
Only the rich kids had the pay-per-views.
Exactly, yeah. Or you had to wait until you, if you couldn't find out what happened, you had to wait until the next issue of WWE Magazine came out.
I never did that. I'd always wait for Friday or Monday.
Yeah, that's true. Then also protected on Raw is the new Intercontinental Champion, Sami Zayn. And the World Tag Team Championships, champions of the Awesome Truth.
Okay, they earned that. They finally got that. They earned that. So
SmackDown's protected list is the undisputed WWE Universal Champion, Cody Rhodes. The WWE Women's Champion, Bayley.
I'm glad Bayley got her belt back finally.
Yes, me too. Me too. Honestly, it's been way too long. And that face turn was just even better because it took her 5+ years to turn
Logan
face.
Logan Paul again. Shouldn't even have the fucking belt.
Yeah, we're not even he's protected.
You can just troll past that.
Yeah, he's protected somehow, some way. I don't know how.
Way down under. That's I hate them. I hate them so much.
They're protected.
I don't like that team.
And we have the unbranded, the WWE Tag Team Champions, Women's Tag Team Champions of the Kabuki Warriors. They could go anywhere. So I don't know if this also includes NXT because it says NXT is eligible for drafts. So I don't know if their champions are protected, but their current champions are the NXT Men's Champion, Trick Williams, the Women's Champion, Roxanne Perez, the North American Champion, Alba Femi. The Women's North American Champion is to be determined yet. The Heritage Cup, we don't really celebrate that too much.
I'm going to be honest, I don't know who any of these NXT people
and
are.
The NXT Tag Team Champions of Nathan Frazier and Axum. Nathan Frazier, like I said before in one episode, he is my guy that I think will be called up sometime, probably within the next year or so. He was trained by Seth Rollins at his school in Iowa. And he actually had a few matches at AEW, but never signed a contract. So he was working these matches, just getting paid by match. So they never signed him to a contract. And when they're thinking about maybe signing him, that's when WWE called and he signed with NXT.
I mean, that was pretty smart of him to sit there and wait on that, you know?
Exactly. But I mean, he could have also, you know, had that big money, you know, and just said, fuck it, just stay with AEW and just maybe sign it out.
AEW wasn't going to give him that much money.
No, but he had some really good matches on there. So we are also seeing, we also got a list of superstars who are going to be available and up for grabs come this Friday night. Night one of the draft. So that is little bit of a surprising list, maybe. Maybe how different compared to one night.
Yeah, another. That's what I said. Hey, I'm just like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, exactly. And so yeah, we have a lot of superstars up for grabs. It would not surprise me if you start seeing some of these, you know, superstars go elsewhere in this draft. I think for sure. Roman Reigns will probably go to Monday Night Raw. I don't see them having him with Cody much longer. I think Seth Rollins is going to stay on Friday Night SmackDown. I don't know, because it's just so hard now that, like we said, champions are protected. So,
yeah.
And it's like, are they going to break up Judgment Day? That's another thing, too. Especially with
Rhea. I kind of think they will finally.
Especially with Rhea being, you know, out for as long as she is for undetermined amount of time. But then again, she would have been protected. No, yeah, she would have been protected if she didn't have to vacate that. Then that would have meant, did the judgment. Well, still, that would have meant the Judgment Day still break up too, possibly. The only thing I could see happening for Judgment Day right now would be JD McDonagh. possibly getting drafted to another brand.
He needs to go somewhere else. I'm tired of his shit.
His Funko Pop looking ass.
I'm tired of his shit.
Oh, man. But yeah, it's just crazy because you also got to see how other things will play out too for this draft based on what we got going forward. I think right now there's a lot of talent on this Raw roster that's up for grabs right now. Like Gunther and Imperium, they're up for grabs. You have Drew McIntyre's up for grabs. Let's see, New Day's up for grabs. You got Shinsuke Nakamura, even though he's on a losing streak, he's up for grabs. Jade Cargill is up for grabs. Street Profits up for grabs.
I mean, there's too many people that are up for grabs that should be.
Judgment Day up for grabs, all with the exception of Damian Priest. I mean, then again, SmackDown, you got Randy Orton up for grabs, too. I think he's going to make his venture to Prime on Monday Night Raw. I think that's where he's going right now. That way he can form a tag team. I think Kevin Owens stays at Raw. Randy Orton goes to Raw. They form some type of tag team. Or maybe Kevin Owens goes to SmackDown.
Oh, that'd be pretty dope.
Yeah, well, they had that going with that feud with Thou Who Shalt Not Be Named at Mania. But yeah, that's a lot of people up for grabs. And I think, honestly, it's time to break up Alpha Academy too.
Yeah.
It's had its course. I mean, I know Gable's going to be going after, well, was going after Sammy's title. So that only makes sense if he goes to Raw and Sammy stays in Raw. So. There's a lot to think about when it comes to that draft, especially.
This is bullshit.
This is bullshit. Just starts clapping out of nowhere. yeah. So that's a lot of stuff. That's a lot of people. Like we said, I didn't expect it to be that crazy. I don't know. You know, I understand they want to have rules to this and they want to protect certain things. But I think the only things that should have been protected was the World Heavyweight and the Universal, Undisputed Universal Championship. I think those are the only two champions that should have been protected. Everything else should have been up for grabs. The only thing that you'd have to do that next night, especially if it's the tag titles, just have them switch. That's all you do. Have them switch the belts.
Basically, yes.
And then after that, it's not like we haven't seen it before where the United States has been on Monday Night Raw and the Intercontinental has been on Friday Night SmackDown. We've seen that before. It's not like we haven't seen it before. So it's not like they're breaking any type of traditions.
Yeah, you're definitely not wrong. So what about, wait a minute, what did I forget? No, we already talked about that. Okay.
Oh, you already got your Ripley stuff off your chest.
Yeah. I'm like, wait a minute, what did I forget to talk about?
Yeah, I honestly thought you did too. That's what I was like, shit, did he forget something? But yeah, we already touched base on that.
I think it's bullshit, but
yeah, it is. I mean, and like we said, if this was a planned vacation or a planned time off or whatever,
I can understand. Should have lost
it. But she should have lost it at Mania, though, regardless, if that was, you know, her plan was to take some time off or whatever. But who knows? Who knows? It's one of those things where I don't think we know the details of why she left quite yet. But hopefully, whatever it is, hopefully she'll be back soon. So, but since we are on the subject of WWE, we will be going into probably one of our last topics of the show, and that is the subject of the next pay-per-view event, Backlash France, which for the second straight year, WWE will be having a Backlash in a different country, last year's being Backlash Puerto Rico.
I'm why do we keep going to different countries?
But I'm liking it, honestly. I'm liking it to a certain extent that we could probably have one pay-per-view that's outside the States that
I'm
won't
not,
hurt.
I'm not sure if I should like it or not.
Well, I mean, if you look at it too, AEW is doing it now with their main, like their WrestleMania with All Out. That's been in London. That was in London last year. It's going back to London this year. So, I mean, it's honestly not that bad of an idea. I mean, especially with Backlash, not a lot of people go to those. I call them the first of the season shows because I consider WrestleMania being the season finale of, you know, the WWE world, you know, and they're going to the next season, that next pay-per-view. So I consider that an all right show to have, especially, I mean, it's not going to be that much earlier for us. I mean, it's only going to be televised at 12:30 in the afternoon. So
yeah, you're not wrong.
It's not gonna be too bad. I mean, especially for a Sunday pay-per-view event, that's not too bad. That's gonna be Sunday, May 4th on Peacock.
Well, I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm more than like May 4th.
May the 4th be with you that day.
I will not. No, May 4th is Saturday. But am I wrong?
I thought it was Sunday. I could have sworn it was Sunday, but we can double check real quick. May 4th is
a Saturday.
Saturday. Yeah. Never mind. Saturday, May 4th.
Oh, yeah. I will not be able to. I don't think I'll be able to watch that, honestly.
I don't think I will be able to watch it live. I'll be able to watch the.
Yeah, I'll be able recorded to. Version, be yeah. able to watch it later, but I won't be able to watch it live. So.
But the bad thing about it was.
No spoilers, fucker.
Dude, you can't blame me on that. That's the bad thing about having pay-per-view events that early on in the day. It's leaked throughout the internet.
That's why that day I'm going to stay off of Facebook.
Uninstall the app for a day.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, probably. Dude, that means you have to install Facebook, TikTok, Instagram.
I mean, I'll just shut my phone off for the day. I'm...
Like the Holy Trinity, you have to uninstall. YouTube, Twitch.
I'll just lock myself out of it for a while.
Don't lock yourself out for too long where you have to take it back to the freaking Apple store and have them unlock it for you.
Hey, I'm not mad at that. Some days I just want to get off of this damn Facebook shit.
Hey, that's true. I feel you there. I do feel you there. But speaking of going back to this Backlash France, so far we only know two confirmed matches for this event, and that is Cody Rhodes versus AJ Styles for the Undisputed WWE Championship and Damian Priest versus Jey Uso for the World Heavyweight Championship. I know like this ties into the draft a little bit right here. I think it's obvious. Ooh. It's obvious though that both of us probably pick both of them to retain in this situation, yeah. Because I think it's too early on for Cody to lose it, even though I think we need him done already. No, I'm just joking.
The story is not, over. Though. I'm tired of the story. I'm tired of it.
Exactly. I need a new champ now.
Not really but, a new champ, but I'm just tired of the same story.
Oh, yeah, me too. Over. Me too.
It's regurgitated how many times?
Exactly. Too many. And then Damian Priest taking on Jey Uso, I feel like that's going to be something that it doesn't make sense now, but maybe it'll make sense later, especially with the draft. Jey Uso's on SmackDown, so Priest is on Monday Night Raw. So,
how do you feel about 2K24 WWE edition?
I've seen a lot of playthroughs of it. It's not too bad in my opinion. I haven't really seen many of the game modes that they have offered. I know that they do have a few new ones, such as a casket match, and they also have an ambulance match now too. So it's probably definitely worth the try. I mean, especially if you get on sale.
Well, it's $69.99 right now.
Giggity.
All right, hold on. I just pulled something up.
Uh-oh. Is it breaking news? Breaking news? Uh-oh.
This one right here. Since you were just talking about the casket match.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, I think they also have like a Buried Alive match, I want to say, too. Maybe, I'm not for sure. Don't quote me. And I think you can play just about every WrestleMania. That is a downloadable content that they have that you can, like, DLC that you can buy, I think.
That's wildly cool.
Yeah.
Why is it only 3.9 stars?
There's a lot of people that always find something wrong with everything. You'll find that a lot of times in the games. Like, I honestly didn't think last year's was that bad, but everybody was shitting on last year's. So.
Right. I haven't played it in many years, so.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not bad. I mean, you get what you pay for. I spent a decent amount of time on it, you know? Storyline.
I played one years ago. I don't even remember what it was called, but it was pretty dope.
Yeah, they had last year's. It wasn't too bad. It was pretty decent. But yeah, like I was saying with how Priest and Uso, it's gonna be a kind of a weirder match because like we said, for now, Jey Uso is on SmackDown. Could we possibly see him going over to Raw and maybe AJ Styles being not protected, but staying with SmackDown?
Maybe, yeah, I could see that happen.
Because Cody and AJ could have a little bit of a feud for a little bit. I mean, I wouldn't mind that.
What, for all of about 5 minutes?
Two pay-per-view events.
Two pay-per-view events, that's it?
Yeah, that's it. I say this first one ends in a DQ. Second one goes for, you know, the real finish, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I could see that.
I could see something like that happening. Maybe Gallows and Anderson, they try to get back with AJ, but then turn on AJ and join Cody.
Why are you no?
Because Cody was part of the Bullet Club. Gallows and Anderson was part of the Bullet Club. AJ was part of the Bullet Club. They're going to have to do something. That's what they build off of a lot of the times, too.
No. They're not going to turn on my boy. They just can't do it.
I don't know. I'm just saying. All right, Jobber Nation. We are wrapping up this week's episode. That means that it is time for the Jobber Nation Jobber of the Week. And my pick for this week's Jobber Nation of the Week goes to none other than CM Punk once again. I know I had him once before, but I think that was during a WrestleMania
episode.
Elaborate? I'm glad you asked me to, because I have a script written down right here.
Jesus Christ.
Let me prepare you. Get your popcorn ready, like T.O. said. Get your popcorn ready, man. twiddling his thumbs. Fuck you.
I'm waiting.
But anyways, this is for him putting over Jack Perry by making him one of the hottest heels in wrestling at the moment. He appeared at a pay-per-view event in New Japan Pro Wrestling while we were gone, and people were chanting, "Go cry me a river," along with "Punk was wrong." And guess where that pay-per-view event was at?
Where was that?
Chicago.
Oh. They're saying Punk was wrong for going to WWE?
No, Punk was wrong in that situation.
Oh, yeah.
That backstage altercation, yeah. Wrong. But anyways, half the crowd was chanting Punk was wrong and half the crowd was chanting Punk was right. So it's going about both ways, like Cena sucks and let's go Cena sucks type shit. Yeah.
I love that shit. That shit made me laugh every time when I heard
exactly.
It.
And then again, people were chanting Go Cry Me a River on Dynamite, as we all seen. So, I mean, he's just getting the heat, and he's actually becoming probably, you know, one of the biggest heels right now that AEW has to rely on, since they don't have MJF at the moment. So I think for that reason, CM Punk is my pick for the Jobber Club.
I was gonna say I liked Jack Perry. I was gonna pick Jack Perry because he went from like a baby face. Now he's turning heel, and I like that. I liked that.
Well, he's been working on it now for almost a year. But like I said, when he first started, people weren't like really on board with it. And then he did that entire Cry Me a River thing, and then he did the suspension happened, and people were like, "Well, when's he coming back?" type thing. Then he ended up ripping up his contract for AEW on TV. So I think that was all because of those reasons. I was like, man, dude, he's getting some heat now. He started doing a little bit more work in New Japan, started getting over a little bit there, got his ass kicked a few times. But then that I think the reason why AEW decided to air that footage was so they can do this entire storyline thing where they get those new writers in and stuff like that to make it better, to ride that momentum off of that, to cash in on that, you know? So that's the reason why I think CM Punk, that's another reason why I said CM Punk is the Jobber Nation Jobber of the Week. So for that, congratulations, CM Punk. You are now officially a 2-time Jobber Nation Jobber of the Week. Go cry me a river. Congrats on your second reign, Phil.
I like it. See, I'm glad we were in the same page of that.
But still, I mean, we had the same process, the thought process. I mean, you just went one route, I went the other. It was that fork in the road. You went left, I went right.
I mean, it was the same results. So.
Yeah, same results, you know. We had the same thought process. So it was like that, you know, hey, can I copy your homework type thing? Yeah, sure, just change it up a little so we don't get caught.
I never changed it up. I was copying and paste.
Fuck no, you didn't.
Oh, it's copy and paste.
I remember in English class having to bail your ass out so many times.
That, and then another friend of mine let me copy their shit all the time.
Oh man, on that note, with that Ms. Rumpel, being said,
shout out to you for dealing with my dumb shit.
Oh man, he's just giving shout outs to random ass teachers that we have.
At one point, I had all the teachers on Facebook at one point.
Oh, jeez. On that note, with that being said, that is all the time we have for you jabronis this week. Like always, you can like us on our official Facebook page at facebook.com/officialjobberclubpodcast. Listen to us on Spotify or wherever you stream your podcast. Just search Jobber Club Podcast in the search bar. Also, with the release of season 3, we are, drum roll please, rolling out our Discord. Even though it has not been fully completed yet to our liking, we still would like to communicate with you guys on there a little bit more, get in touch with you. It'd be an easy way for you guys to interact with us. At the moment, right now, we only have discussion boards for Raw and SmackDown, along with AEW. For those, you know, post while you're watching, whatever. It's going to include spoilers, so don't be, you know, confused or upset when you go into one of those boards and you start seeing things like that. But yes, we'll be up. We'll be doing that. And hopefully we'll be having some other things in the process as well for you guys, season 3. But yes, we will leave the links to those two in our description. Face, got anything else to promote, my guy?
Well, I'm going to just share the screen again real quick. Guys, go follow facegaming_13. It's the easiest way to do it, so that's why I do it.
Oh, yeah.
Instagram, TikTok, Twitch, YouTube, recently new to that. Discord, the Jabba Club, like we always say, Spotify, YouTube, or not YouTube yet, sorry. the Spotify and Facebook and Apple Podcast. Go follow Face Gaming on Kick. That's basically what I got. I am trying to figure out. Oh shit! Whatever. I just killed that. I'm trying to figure out a couple more things, but dude, it's just taking.
Oh, it's understandable.
It drains me. It drains.
Well, like I said, I think it's a perfect time to go ahead and introduce it. You know, we still got a lot of bugs to work out, but that's probably going to be the easiest way to interact with us and get our thoughts and everything like that. Get some one-on-one interaction, and who knows, maybe get your stuff read on our show if we agree with you and we like it, and you know, gets enough likes.
We're kind of looking for a couple more wrestling, big giant wrestling fans like we are. That way, maybe we could bring you guys in, but that's a conversation you and I have to have.
Yeah, exactly. And then we also have a very special appearance this season by somebody kind of looking like Ric Flair, maybe his cousin, you know, maybe a long lost brother or something.
Maybe I gotta set that up yet. So
if I heard right, if I'm not mistaken, I heard that Ric Flair has technically never won a championship. It's all been his stunt double, which is apparently your stepdad.
Apparently.
I mean, I think he has the belts to prove it too.
Yes, this is very true.
All right, Jobber Nation. So we are definitely looking forward to you guys in season 3. Big thank you for you guys for all your support over the past 2 seasons. And Face, thank you for coming back for your second season, my guy.
I'm here, man. I'm locked in, ready to go every day.
As always, Jobber Nation, this episode was sponsored by Doobie. Go to doobie.gg and use code NATION2023 at checkout. We'll be changing that code up sometime within the next few weeks, so use that code while it lasts, because after the next few weeks, you will not be able to use that specific code. We'll have all of our links in the description, and we will see you guys next time. Peace.
Peace out, Girl Scout.
Out my mind, I'm slowly breaking free through lucid dreams. Day to day, I may just break. Safe to say, I ain't no human being. Unstable, my mood just swings. It's painful as you would think. My veins full of putrid things. Dark angels into the same.